Hello and welcome back, or welcome to the AE Podcast, a show planned, created, and shared by high school students for themselves and other students to discuss anything and everything. This month, the AE Podcast brings to you a new series of episodes, Cast a Poem, where grade 8 students analyze and discuss contemporary Black poetry that not only revives, resists, and fights back, but also inspires, uplifts, and rejoices. I'm your host, Alisa, and in today's episode, I'm joined by two wonderful guests and friends of mine, Kara and Rochella, to discuss the poem Dear Diaspora Child by Cicely Bell Blaine, a queer Black poet born and raised in London, England, but currently residing right here in Vancouver, BC. Here's the poem for a bit of context. Dear Diaspora Child by Cicely Bell Blaine. It's okay if you only learned about your culture from Google. It's okay if you only read your language at the public library. It's okay if you need books to know your ancestral recipes. It's okay if you've never even set foot on the soil of your people. It's okay if your hips don't sway to those rhythms. It's okay if the food is too bitter for your tongue. It's okay if English is the only language that flows freely from your mouth. It's okay if your wardrobe is just jeans and tees. It's okay if you only know Shakespeare. It's okay if spice brings you fear instead of joy. It's okay if you understand but can't reply. It's okay if you dread the disappointed stares of aunties. It's okay if small words like salam alaikum fall from your tongue like broken bones. It's okay if you spent your whole life shunning it all, only to now want it back. You are no less worthy. It is no less home. Love always, CB. Now to introduce the guests. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me here today, Kara and Rochella.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Could you please tell us a little bit about yourselves?
My name's Kyra. I'm half Japanese, half Canadian, and I was born and raised here in Vancouver, and I still live here.
Yes, and my name is Rochella. I am full Indonesian and came to Canada 3 years ago.
Great, thanks for sharing. Now that we've got the introductions out of the way, let's get started with our analysis. All right then, so first of all, what made you want to analyze this poem?
Well, this poem really stood out for me because of the repetitive structure it has and also the very direct messaging in each line. And unlike the other poems, Dear Diaspora Child sounds very direct and literal, but of course we knew there was obviously something else beneath that. And I think it would be a great conversation and discussion to analyze this poem.
Yeah, I agree. I think it really does have it's kind of interestingly very direct and straightforward compared to a lot of the poems.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So there's not as much shifting in tone like most of the poems have, which I guess is kind of intriguing in a way. But also I picked it up the first time because I really connected with it. Because as like a mixed person, I often do feel that I'm disconnected from my culture. And I think this poem just kind of really sums it up, like people like us or people like me. That struggle with this.
Yeah, I really agree with both of your points, Rochella and Kyra. It's definitely a really strong poem that has like a lot of like deep messages, and it's definitely something like a poem that we can all relate to in some way. So Next question then, what did you think about when you're reading the poem? Were there like, what thoughts did you have, like any feelings that you felt when you were reading?
Yeah, especially some of the lines, they really reminded me of some of my friends who are also half Japanese, half Canadian. Especially that line, it's okay if you understand but can't reply. I have a lot of friends that are like that with their Japanese. Like they can understand their mother or their father speaking to them, but they can't really reply back in fluent Japanese. And it's just, I can't help but feel like it's just, they're like wasting such an opportunity to like have another language and be like so much closer to their culture. I can't imagine talking to my mom in English or like not being able to speak to my aunt and like uncle and stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good point, right? Like language, it definitely opens a lot of doors to like communication. So it's really important to learn and grow from these languages. Like even if it takes a long time, right? It's still really nice to learn. All right, so then, now were there any specific lines that stood out to you? Did you relate to any of them in a certain way, or which line was your favorite out of all of them?
For my favorite line, I would say it was, it's okay if English is the only language that flows freely from your mouth. Because it really relates to me as my mother language is slowly fading away. And English being the only language that I'm really fluent at.
Yeah.
Do you think that might be because, like, you were in Indonesia until just 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you think maybe because you just don't use it that often in Canada? Like,
I learned, like, English back then throughout elementary school, and I usually just, like, speak English at home, too, and among my friends.
Yeah, I think I've also noticed that, like, especially like, recently I've been really focused on trying to preserve and, like, learn more Japanese. But, and, like, now I've been taking in a lot more media from, like, Japan and stuff. Like, the music, shows. Like, I honestly don't really watch that many English shows or, like, listen to that much English music anymore. And I've really noticed that, like, my Japanese has also gotten a lot better. And it's also, like, a lot more of, like, just because I live around Japanese more often now. It's just, it's gotten so much easier for me to, like, kind of think and talk in it.
I also relate to, like, the point that you said, Kyra, about, like, oh, how you're kind of, like, getting more engaged in, like, media, right? Same here for me. Like, I've also been, like, more engaged in media in my, like, language. A good friend of mine actually, like, influenced me to, like, listen to, like, songs in Chinese and, like, Mandarin, like, C-pop.
Nice,
And I started, like, falling in love with that genre. So it's really, really cool, yeah. I also live in, like, a household where, like, everyone in my family speaks, like, our mother languages. I'm kind of struggling to keep up because now my mom, who doesn't really know, like, English, she's also learning English to talk to other people more in, like, the country. Yeah.
I guess one of the things that's helping me keep my Japanese is that my mom just does not try to English. So, like, she's been living here for, what is it, 14, 15 years now.
Wow.
And she, like, barely speaks English. Like, she only knows enough to go to, like, the grocery store. Like, she can hold, like, a simple conversation.
Still good,
but honestly, I guess that's helping me keep my Japanese, so I'm not complaining.
That's nice. Like,
but, like,
trade-off.
But, like, every time she has, like, a phone call or something, she always has to ask me, my father or I, to, like, answer. She'll be like, I don't know what they're saying. And I'm like, okay, well.
All right, then. Moving on. So, does the title of the poem, Dear Diaspora Child, like, speak to you in any way? When you read the title, what were some things that popped into your head?
The word diaspora can also refer to the refugees that had to flee from the conflict, like the Jewish diaspora centuries ago.
Yeah, like, the Jewish population was scattered, and, like, everyone had to flee away, like, leave their homes, right? So they won't be in touch with, like, their culture and, like, that part of themselves.
Yeah.
So there can also, like, lots of be connections to this title.
Definitely. We can all relate to that in some
refugees way, could totally connect to, like, the more recent, like, the stuff that's happening in, like, you know, like, Iran, Afghanistan, that area. Like, all of that. Like, definitely, like, I feel like in the future, they're gonna have the people that are, like, that are leaving the country now are gonna have kids that are, like, the kids that are leaving the country are gonna have the exact struggles that we do. Just trying to keep their culture, right? Yeah, I think the word child in this context can be seen as a lot of different perspectives and things. Like, but the one that I thought of immediately was, like, a child of a family that had to move away from their country, whether it was just, like, immigration or whether it was, like, forced, like, refugees. I think it's, like, the child part really kind of is, like, us, like, as kids that are separated from their culture from, like, a young age and are kind of struggling to keep up with, you know, this, with our cultures and not be completely, like, influenced by Western culture and trying to, like, preserve our, you know, our, like, our cultural backgrounds.
So how did you guys personally interpret the poem? Like, what does the poem mean to you personally?
Like, as a full Indonesian person that has only been in Vancouver for only 3 years, many people has commented on my accent that is basically non-existent. And I'm not that proud to say that my mother language is fading slowly but surely. And this is because I learned English at such a young age and using that, thinking that it was, like, very cool and not caring about my mother language with my friends. So with this, with this poem, it kind of, like, reassures me and puts me at ease that it's okay that I am forgetting little by little.
Yeah, we definitely, like, we've definitely lost a lot of, like, our, like, culture because, like, we use English a lot, right? Like, I could definitely relate to that a lot. Like, even though I was born in, like, Hong Kong and not here in Vancouver, I'm definitely more fluent in, like, English rather than my mother languages, which are, like, Cantonese and Mandarin, right? I can still understand most of it, but sometimes I really struggle to, like, sustain conversations with other people when, like, speaking languages, right? And also, there's also, like, slang, right? Like, modern language diction, right? It's it's now, like, implemented into, like, modern day speaking, and so it's even hard to keep up, like, learning slang words in other languages. That's, like, a whole new, like, different thing. It's, like, a whole new story.
Because, like, slang is something that you, like, have to be in that country for, like,
be in the moment.
You have to be there. Like, I don't know, like, you could obviously, like, learn it off of, like, online and stuff, like, if you're, like, on, like, you know, like, YouTube and TikTok.
Still be stiff.
Yeah, but it's like, you won't be, like, because you don't use it. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
and you won't use it, like, sometimes you won't use it, like, correctly.
Exactly. No, it's the most embarrassing thing if you use your slang incorrectly and you're like,
everyone
what?
Doesn't know what
and you're like,
means.
They're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, oh no.
Like, oh no, what did I do?
All right, yeah, so it was really, really nice to hear about your own personal connections and experiences. What other perspectives, then, do you see else in this poem?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways of, like, seeing the different views in each and every line. But I think one of the ones that really kind of stood out to me at the beginning mm-hmm. was the second line, it's okay if you only read your language at the public library. Like, I think that kind of, the image that I had in my head was that at first, like, it was like, this person, I guess, doesn't have any books in their language or doesn't have mm-hmm. access to the books in their language. But then it kind of made me think, like, if you can get access to them at the public library, why don't you bring them home? Mm-hmm. And that kind of, like, led me to think, like, oh, maybe, like, their family doesn't want them reading their the book in their language. They have to read it in secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Like, yeah, exactly. Does this happen? Like, usually, mm-hmm. like, families are more traditional, mm-hmm. right? Like, they tend to, like, kind of yeah. stick with their culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, like, why the reason is for
yeah, this. Maybe it was, like, a shameful thing mm-hmm. or something. Like, maybe they're ashamed of their culture or they wanted to, like, fit to the norm so they don't want, because yeah, they don't like want their kid being bullied norms. Or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And another line that really connects with what Cairo just said before says, it's okay if spice brings you fear instead of joy. Spice here can mean, like, literally just the spice itself, and also the things that are, that, like, make your culture unique to mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah,
and,
like, yeah, yeah. Like, colors, mm-hmm. and, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also, like, the point, the word they use, fear, mm-hmm. I think it can be kind of seen as, like, maybe they're just, because they weren't, what is it, they weren't, like, really shown mm-hmm. it when they were younger, mm-hmm. or they weren't really, yeah. like... Yeah. They weren't around it when they were young, so they're kind of afraid of, like, trying it now. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, like, their, like, parents mm-hmm. kind of were afraid of it or were mm-hmm. afraid to eat it in front of other people or something. So then now they're now afraid mm-hmm. to eat it because yeah. like, they've been influenced by it's their like parents.
Influence, yeah.
Yeah.
And fear is a really strong word.
Yeah.
They could have picked, like, uncomfortable or, like, mm. another word, but they used fear.
Like, fear is, like, straight up scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, another couple lines that really popped out to me just because they, like, I think they are supposed to be, like, matched up in a way. Because the line, it's okay if English is the only language that flows freely from your mouth. Like, what I think Rochelle also pointed this out, line out before. And then also, it's okay if small words like salam alaikum. Sorry, I'm probably pronouncing that extremely horribly.
Cutscene here. This is how you actually pronounce the word.
Salam alaikum.
Fall from her tongue like broken bones. Mm-hmm. I think those are, like, they're connected in some way because, like, flows freely from your mouth mm-hmm. compared to fall from your tongue like broken bones.
Yeah.
I think it's just that, like, flows is such, like, it's an elegant word. It's, like, it's very controlled. It's, you know.
Like, it's very fluid.
It's, yeah, it's natural and fluid, whereas yeah. falling is kind of more, it's clumsy. Complete. Yeah, it's
broken.
Uh-huh. Like, especially, like, in broken bones. Like, it just, you can kind of, It's like imagery that, like, you can see in your head, like, whether that language is that those words are flowing out of your mouth or yeah. whether they're just mm-hmm. kind of, like, tumbling out without you being able to control them.
And the way they the poet describes each language for English, you know, like you said, it was, like, very graceful. While for the other language that they pointed out seems more restricted and, like, just have a very dark and solemn vibe.
Yeah.
Salam alaikum means peace be upon you or something mm-hmm. along the lines of that in Arabic, I believe, Islamic. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, also just, like, the choice of the words broken bones is kind of, like, I think it's intentional to give a more, like, morbid kind of thing. Like, it could have been just, like, falls from your mouth in broken words or something, like, but they chose broken bones. Like, yeah.
Similes, it's very useful. Yeah. All right, so although this poem is very direct and straightforward, are there any use of literary devices in there? And how does it strengthen the poem and all? And what's its significance?
The most obvious literary device that is used here is anaphora, which is repetition at the beginning of every line. So in the first stanza, it's always starts at, it's okay if. And at the second stanza, it is said, you are no less worthy, it is no less home. And the words used for the repetition is no less. And the only part of the poem that does not use repetition whatsoever is right at the end of the poem, which says, love always CB. And yeah, with this, like, lots of repetition throughout this poem, it really, like, shines, like, the message of that it is okay mm-hmm. yeah. And, like, reassures the readers.
I think it's just got, like, it really drives the poem, like, into your mind. It, like, kind of makes it hard to forget in a way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think that's what really even though there isn't really, like, a rhyme or anything that makes it, like, kind of sing-song-ish, like, it's very powerful because it just, it repeats so many times. It just kind of, like, it kind of ingrains, burns it into your mind. There are also quite a few symbolisms in here. Although there aren't really, as I said before, like, there aren't that many rhymes, or, like, the metaphors and symbolisms aren't that noticeable when you first read it, but when you really think about it, it is there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that one line, it's okay if your wardrobe is just jeans and tees. The jeans and tees can, like, represent the white culture and, like, the things that you own are, like, Western and not, like, many cultured clothing.
Yeah.
Another type of symbolism can also be found in this line. It's okay if you dread the disappointed stares of aunties. Here, aunties can represent the eyes of your culture, like how they view you.
Or just like the eyes of society and how sometimes society doesn't accept the fact that you're part of the culture, even though you are. It's just you're kind of distanced from it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have no choice in the fact that you're distanced, but I guess society still expects you to be close.
Yeah, and I also noticed the use of alliteration, which is like the same sounds at the beginning of words used in line 13, which says, it's okay if small words like salam alaikum, sorry, I'm probably butchering that, fall from your tongue like broken bones. The broken bones here use alliteration, the bro from the broken and bo from bones.
Yeah, so moving on, I've noticed that the entire poem is in a letter format, like going off the initials, love always, CB at the end, and also that the title starts with dear, right? Dear diaspora child. Why do you think it's written in this way?
I feel like the main reason why Blaine picked this type of format is to really direct this message towards people that, like, have strayed away from, like, their culture or, like, fears it and kind of shunned it their whole life.
Yeah, there's a literal line at the bottom that says, it's okay if you spent your whole life shunning it all only now to want it back.
It's like regret in a way.
Yeah. It's like a letter to those people. Yeah, especially in those, like, the last two lines, they really speak to me because they're you are no less worthy, it is no less home, right? Like, it's like, it's just such a comforting message, and it just feels like a letter to all the people like us out there that are struggling.
Acceptance.
Yeah, acceptance and, like, reassurance. Yeah, you're really, like, feeling that, you're really feeling that you're, like, more connected after, like, you're reading this poem, right?
Yeah. Can also, like, kind of invite them home back to their culture and, like, also just kind of accepting them for who they are and where they stand between them and their culture.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting to think about now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So, looking back at the title now, do you see any new or different meanings behind it after our discussion?
Yeah. So, for this specific title, I realized that it's really welcoming and it's, like, inviting us to, like, read this poem.
Definitely.
Unlike, like, other poems, there holds a very deep meaning, kind of a morbid and...
A lot of poems can be kind of have, like, a dark title, which is kind of, it can be kind of scary to get into the poem. Just because, like, it's just, some of them are so intense, even just in the title, but this one's just, it's so soft, you know, it's like, it's really not, it's just like,
dear diaspora
child, you know, it's...
It's like you're the one receiving the letter. Like, you're the one receiving, like, this heartfelt message. It really touches the hearts of the people.
Yeah,
it can also mean, like, the poet kind of, like, directing their love and comfort and, like, focus into this type of audience because you don't usually, like, kind of include these people who have, like, forgotten or lost these cultures in a poem.
Yeah, definitely, All right, then. So now that we've gone through and talked about the entire poem, what do you think the poet Cicely Bell Blaine is trying to communicate with the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think she's trying to give all of us people that are separated from our cultures, like, this message where it's like, your culture is and always will be your home, no matter where you stand. That stand being kind of, it could be taken literally, like, where you are in the world physically, and also where you stand as in, like, where you stand in relation to your culture, and, like, how close you are to it. Or, like, what you think about it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a really relatable theme. It's a really relatable message. Like, all of us are right now, like, basically an ocean away from our culture, right? And, like, our hometown. So, yeah, definitely. And your cultures will always be, like, an integral, like, very, like, inherent part of you. Like, yeah. It's always, like, a fragment of you that will never go away.
Yeah, like, even as a person, like, both of you, I think, were born in your country, right? Yeah. Like, you were born in Hong Kong. Mm. Hong Kong, and you were born in Indonesia. I was born and raised here in Vancouver. But, like, it's such an odd feeling because, like, sometimes I'll feel so homesick for somewhere that I wasn't born, I wasn't raised. Like, it's just, I feel so homesick for, like, being in Japan. Like, if I don't get to go there for, like, a few years straight, like, it's just... I don't know, like, it's such an odd feeling, because I'm like, why am I so sad about not being able to go back? It's like, it's not even somewhere I grew up. Like, I've only been there for, like, a total, like, all of the times I've been there combined, a total of maybe a year. But I feel so, like, sad to not be able to see that.
Yeah, just, definitely.
Exactly. I haven't been to Indonesia for, like, 3 years now, and I really do miss it. I don't know, like, what I'm missing. It's just...
Yeah. That feeling. Yeah. That feeling of, like, being there, right? Yeah, I really miss Hong Kong and, like, China. So, like, I want to go there in the summer, definitely. Yeah.
That's why I'm, like, thinking about maybe doing, like, an exchange program or something to, like, maybe... Ooh, yeah, well, I've been wanting to do that. Yeah, I've been wanting to go for, like, maybe an exchange program, maybe, like, grade 10, to go, like, study in Japan for maybe even, like, a year or something. I just go to school there.
That sounds interesting.
I'd love to do that. It's just, like, I can be... It's once again, I just want to be in touch with my culture. Like, I want to be so much closer to it. Like, I'm not saying that, like, Canada doesn't have a culture, but, like, it's just, it's Western, like, it's my culture, because I'm, once again, I'm half Canadian, but also, like, I feel like I don't really see it as much, I guess, because I've lived here my entire life, so it's kind of such a natural thing in a way, but, like, it does kind of make me sad that, like, my Japanese culture isn't natural in a way, just because I have to, like, actually think about preserving it, because I'm, once again, here in Canada, so it'd be so nice to be able to, like, live in Japan for, like, a longer period of time, so I can just kind of, you know, get back in touch.
Yeah, it's really nice to do that. All right, then. So thank you so much for joining me here today, Kara and Rochella. It was really nice having you both here to share your analysis as well as viewpoints on this wonderful poem and also hearing about your personal connections and experiences as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It was so much fun talking to both of you.
Thank you for the opportunity to have such an amazing discussion with you both.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for listening to our episode in the Cast a Poem series on the AE Podcast. If you enjoy listening to our discussion today, check out the other episodes in this series as well. We hope to see you next time.